Satan is constantly trying to engage us in conversations loaded with but and if statements. He seeks to place conditions and qualifiers on who God is, who you are, and how you might relate to God or others. But if you're in a thought process or conversation that continually interjects but and what if and but what about, the devil is using that moment as a debate solely for the pleasure of disagreement, not as a means of getting to the truth of an issue.
Welcome to the Study with Friends radio program, an outreach of studywithfriends.org. Study with Friends is a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along, and sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. This week in our ongoing study of 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, we're looking at the segment that talks about strongholds, arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Arguments and high things can come in many forms. Arguments are things that disagree with God's provision for me. Sometimes I make arguments like, I know, but... And other times I make an argument that starts, what if... High things can be self-driven or can come from people and circumstances around us. They really can be anything that causes me to forget that God is the Most High. There's so much to talk about today. Let's get started.
Okay, Nancy, would you please read for us 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4.
I will. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Okay. So we're just going to wrap up strongholds by talking about that passage. And of course, what's the difference between what that passage is talking about and what we're talking about right now?
That is, well, it's talking about unbelievers.
Yes.
And not even... That they don't believe in the saving power of Christ because they're blinded.
Right.
As opposed to, we do believe in the saving power of Christ, but we still can be, our minds can still be...
clouded?
Yeah, with lies from Satan. But we still, as a believer, know that, like you said in the beginning, that ultimately we know Satan is the loser in this fight. That we're on the winning mm-hmm. side. I underlined that you wrote that. I love that reminder.
Yeah.
That no matter
me too.
What,
I do.
That we're on the winning side, as opposed to, I mean, that ultimately it's about eternity and not just what we're going to hear.
Yeah. Although Jesus said, have life and have it abundantly.
Yes.
He means here.
Yes.
Because there's no chance of not having it abundantly there.
Right.
So there's no point mm-hmm. in saying
he doesn't
that
want us to
if
live
he wasn't
defeated.
Talking about
right.
here.
He yep. doesn't want us to live defeated.
And so there's two yeah. things I want to circle in this. I wrote out that scripture. The God of this age has mm-hmm. blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Mm-hmm. I circled unbelievers and I put a little arrow to believer, but I also think we have to circle minds because this is the core scripture. What are we talking about, guys? We're talking about taking control of our thought life. And the mm-hmm. core scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, how do we take every thought captive to Jesus Christ? So let's not stray too far from what's happening internally, because mm-hmm. that's what we're really trying to unpack right now. But if we take that scripture and understand that, you know, Satan has some fundamental principles that he applies to believers and unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that passage, how do you think as a believer we can battle a stronghold?
We have the power of Christ.
Yeah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10
mm-hmm.
and read right before 2 Corinthians 10, the core verse 4 and 5,
mm-hmm.
right before it, verse 3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So mm-hmm. how does the verse before, verse 3, so though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. Does that inform you at all? So let's take a step back to the weapons of our warfare.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't wage war as the world does, if unbelievers are blinded by not being able to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, what are our weapons? What are our weapons that are different than the weapons of the world?
the armor.
Yeah, Ephesians mm-hmm. 6, right? Mm-hmm. The armor of God. And what's the one that we talked about was the one sword. You hold? Okay, what is the sword of the Spirit?
The word.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So if we, I mean, I'm loosely saying the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ to me, mm-hmm. thy word is mm-hmm. a lamp unto my feet and a light mm-hmm. unto my path. Yeah. I'm going to loosely say, I mean, I'm not Paul. I don't know what he was talking, you know, if this is what was in his head. But mm-hmm. in the application that we have right here, I would say the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ comes through to me most brightly through studying and spending time in his word. Of mm-hmm. course, I have Holy Spirit experiences. Of mm-hmm. course, the relational with Jesus Christ and my Heavenly Father is the light of the glory mm-hmm. Of Jesus Christ. But my everyday steady diet mm-hmm. of getting that light is through his word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if I had to say how I battle the stronghold, it's just by staying in his word. When yeah. I don't yeah. feel like it, yeah. when I don't want to, when it's not, listen guys, some days you read it and you're just like, what?
Yeah.
How's it's that not apply? Getting in. That's yeah. not getting through. Or I don't even understand what yeah. they're saying. And it might be a passage that you've read 100 times mm-hmm. and you have underlined and you have stars next to it in your Bible. And then you just read it one day and you're just like, I'm not feeling that right now.
Mm.
And that's what, I'm going to go back to what you said, or how Satan can cloud my mind. Mm-hmm. The strongholds can cloud my
mm-hmm.
mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's foundationally, sometimes it's just obedience.
Mm-hmm.
He called me to his word. I'm going to be in his word. I'm not feeling it. I don't have time for it. It's not speaking to me right now, but I'm going to do it anyway.
We should mm-hmm. use Nike's.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Okay, let's move on to arguments, unless you have some more to say about strongholds.
Well, I was just looking at the difference between the unbelievers and the believers of, like, our everyday lives. Like, I have a lot of friends that are unbelievers, and how I deal with when I have the domino effect, and then how they deal, how they have the domino effect. I feel really sad for them.
So what? Tell me more about the difference.
Well, they get into this addictive personality.
How are you equipped differently than they are?
Well, with the whole, the word of the truth. And then when I try to share that with them and give them the hope that things will be okay in the end, it's like I'm speaking to deaf ears.
Mm. Because the God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. You know, another Christian buzzword or Christian buzz chat, when people say that was veiled to me, there's a tie-in between Jesus Christ and how the veil in the temple was torn. When he said it's finished and he died on the cross. This blinding, actually we talked a lot about it in this Revelation study we just did, how there's sort of this blinding of unbelievers during this age. And then we also know that Jesus walked with some of his followers after his resurrection, and he walked with them for a long time before they actually saw who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some conversation about how could the disciples have walked with Jesus for 3 years and some of them still didn't really know he was the Messiah. I think there are levels of unveiling that God does as we walk through our journey of faith. If you start with the fundamental. That's a good word. Foundational / fundamental idea behind 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has, and by the way, that's little g God, you mm-hmm. know, so we're talking about the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying. It'd be very frustrating when you have a friend who's not there yet to say, I see this so clearly. God is knocking on your heart. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's putting things in your path, and they just can't see it.
They just submit to their lies.
Yeah.
They do. They submit to their lies and yeah. their way of thinking.
And this 2 Corinthians 4:4 would actually take it to the next level, that not only are they submitting to the lies, they don't even know their lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're blind.
And that's so scary.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's frustrating as a believer when you care about somebody.
I mean, like, we have the tools to at least acknowledge what the lies are mm-hmm. and, like, to... Yeah. Go to the Lord.
Identify.
And, yeah.
Before we even acknowledge it, we have to identify with
and
the lies.
And we realize it, and we go to the Lord, and, you know, the Lord is the truth, and just being completely deceived by your own thought process is a very scary thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm glad you mentioned that. Okay, let's move on to arguments. Okay, this is another packed situation. And again, I want to think about the trifecta, not just the enemy. We talk a lot about the enemy here, okay? And for sure, he's at the top of the trifecta. He's busy, busy at work with the messing up of our lives. But the world, the flesh, and the devil, we have to own it.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is constantly trying to engage us in conversations loaded with but and if statements. He seeks to place conditions and qualifiers on who God is, who you are, and how you might relate to God or others. But if you're in a thought process or conversation that continually interjects but, and what if, and but what about, the devil is using that moment as a debate solely for the pleasure of disagreement, not as a means of getting to the truth of an issue. I have a friend, some of you know her, and I'm not going to say, and she, and I'd say in the last year, has been really struggling with some stuff, and she's a believer, and I sit with her, and I just speak truth into her life, and I say, I know what you're going through, I hear what you're saying, let's talk about what God has to say about that. And if she said it once, I'm telling you, she said it 50 times in the last year. She says, I know, but, mm-hmm. I know, but, mm-hmm. I know, but. And I think to myself, that really encapsulates all of the Christian defeat through arguments. Mm-hmm. I know, mm-hmm. but. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do know God's word.
Yeah.
I do know.
It's like the intellectual versus, like, the heart. Matters, you know, like, or intellectually, like, I know, but I can't, it's like, you're not taking it into
yes.
your heart for yourself.
Well, I know, but I'm not believing. Yeah. I don't believe.
I know, but what else is there?
It's not for me.
Or yeah, I know, but this situation that's right in front of me right now is mm-hmm. blinding me or clouding me to what I know is the truth.
It doesn't.
And it's been, honestly, I mean, I want to shepherd her and I want to help her.
Yeah.
But it's been enlightening for me.
Yeah.
I really mm-hmm. am watching myself to not say that phrase now. I know, but.
Yeah.
Because if you really know, there is no but.
Right.
Well, I think that it comes down to, you know, that it's God's word, that's how he operates it, that's what it means, but you have this sense that it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't apply to me.
Somehow.
That's for other people.
Somehow,
but not my
there's
situation.
A trapdoor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. we're the ones that there's just no help for us.
And I think another really insipid argument is what if.
That is my son. And for as since he could talk, he has been a what-if person. But what if, Mom? What if? What if? Very worried. And I finally got to the point where I said, there are no what-ifs. We're not going to have that mm-hmm. conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if it doesn't happen mm-hmm. too, Cody? What if it, you know?
You know what I do? One of my children does that too.
Mm-hmm.
She's a big what-ifer.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying, don't say it,
mm-hmm.
I say, complete it. And I say, what if?
Yeah.
Fill it in. Then God.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. What if? Mm-hmm. Then God. Because instead of me trying to bat it down,
mm-hmm.
because some stuff will happen.
Yes.
I'd rather her think than God.
Right.
And I had to get through that myself.
Mm-hmm.
We all have fundamental. I'm not a big what-if-er,
mm-hmm.
but because my mom died,
mm-hmm.
my big fear is passing away before I feel like my kids are done cooking.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I want to just do the best I can with them and make sure that they're okay. My
mm-hmm.
mom passed away when I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty well done cooking by then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, as far
yeah.
as the mother's input, I have, of course, to have the Lord in my life. I'm still very much a work
right.
in progress. But she had instilled in me the things that a mother
mm-hmm.
can do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I would rather have her with me for the rest of my life and being my North Star and helping me find my way.
Mm-hmm.
But I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad and painful, but I made it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my mom passed away when my first child was 5 months old. So that
mm-hmm.
became this fear
mm-hmm.
of what if something happens? I became a little bit of a hypochondriac. And stuff doesn't usually bother me, but Satan was really getting a lot of mileage out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did that Beth Moore study called Believing God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was transformational for me because that's what she taught. Don't just bat down the what ifs. Take them all the way to the end. And that's where I got strung up because I thought, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And then, and she just encouraged me. I say it as if we were having a personal conversation. That Bible study, God, through that Bible study, encouraged me to say, okay, what if?
Mm-hmm.
Play it out. And how many times do we not actually play it out? We're just
right.
like so afraid to even think about the where it could go if you play it out all the way. And I forced myself to play it out. And I thought, do I really trust that God loves my children and that he's going to take care of them?
No matter what.
Whether I'm here or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just, guys, it was like a miracle. What if I die? Then God will call my
mm-hmm.
children and he will love them and he will nurture them and he won't let them out of the palm of his hand. Just the
mm-hmm.
same promises that are there for me in the Bible are there for my children in the Bible. And I just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't, I don't obsess about it like mm-hmm. I used to because mm-hmm. I know that God. So I know that the answer to every what if is then God. Mm-hmm. God is the answer to every what if. And now that I know that, the what if just doesn't have any power over me anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about. These arguments that become really loud yeah. in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit. How do we quiet that? I mean, I told you my personal story about how I quieted that. I think that's how we quiet all of them. But let's talk about Colossians 3:15, if you would read that, Brittany. And let's talk about what Scripture has to say about how we deal with the arguments.
Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful."
I want to read mine, not because yours is wrong. My NIV says peace twice, and I just want to make sure that we hit that because that's what I was going for, so I need to make sure that we hear it. Hold on.
I have it if you want. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful."
Okay. There's so much in there, you guys. Mm-hmm. I was reading it again yesterday, as I told you, because I put it off. And again, this is honestly, I know that we're unpacking two verses of Scripture over probably what will end up being weeks and weeks and weeks of broadcasts. Mm-hmm. And that might seem super myopic, but there, one of the reasons that this is a memory verse, 2 Corinthians 4:5 for the weapons of our warfare, is a verse I memorize, is because it's one of those seminal scriptures. If you can embody it and hold on to it and believe it, it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be surprising to any of us that each little piece of it, you could spend days on it. But I will tell you that I really was like, man, there's so much in there. So I had to actually Google this. What is the opposite of peace? Because I was so in my head about the question that I wrote in the Bible study that says, pairing the understanding of arguments mm-hmm. with the passage from Colossians, how would a believer go about casting down arguments? And so do you know how Paul often... And God in the Bible often deals in opposites. Like he'll mm-hmm. define something mm-hmm. by saying what it's not, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it helps me unpack an understanding to think of what's the opposite here? If this is true, then how does it defeat the opposite thing? And so I thought, what's the opposite of peace? Are you with me or did I lose
you?
No. Okay. So, and I actually had to Google it. I thought, what is the opposite of peace? Mm-hmm. Duh. Do you know what it is?
I'm just thinking like some sort of craziness or something.
That's funny. That's what I was feeling like too, because I think about it in my household.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
War.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. I was like, wow, why did I have to Google that? I'm an idiot.
Right.
But I was so drilled down into how peace looks in my life and how arguments look mm-hmm. in my life. Yeah. And then I thought back to the beginning of this core scripture, warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how it really ties into, I mean, the core scripture literally says the weapons of our warfare. Mm-hmm. And again, the passage or the verse right before it says, "For we do not wage war as the world wages war." They're talking about all of it. The war on the outside of me and the war on the inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we know there's a spiritual war going on, spiritual warfare. So I don't know. I just felt like the juxtaposition of Colossians 3:15, the peace of Christ ruling in my heart as a member of one body, I'm called to peace. And then the second part of that, so such a tiny little piece,
mm-hmm.
P-E-I-C-E, I-E, mm-hmm. whatever, tiny little piece, as in a piece of pie, not peace like war and peace. Mm-hmm. Right after that, it says, "and be thankful."
Yeah.
And I was meditating on that, and I thought, that's probably the best way I know how to find my way back to peace.
Mm-hmm.
When peace cannot be found,
mm-hmm.
thankfulness is a good path to get back to peace.
Yeah.
When you think your life and your world is like a mess, a good way to get peaceful about it is to look at someone else's life who's an even bigger mess. If we had to unpack and really drill this whole series down to like a couple core things you can do to have control over your own brain and all the messed up thoughts, I would say focusing on thankfulness and, mm-hmm. and that God, like we were talking about earlier, Allie, like the thankfulness I feel when I'm faced with God's grace and mercy, that washes a lot of shenanigans away.
Mm-hmm.
It really just pushes all the stupid stuff to the side. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm super thankful right now. Mm-hmm. Super thankful that I'm healthy, that my kids are healthy, mm-hmm. that we're not hungry. And then my shoulders come back down and I feel like, you know what? Whatever this is that's gotten me all tangled up, it's going to be okay.
It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
So well, it reminded me because I always think of the Philippians 4:6-7, and I know you have that in later, but in the same thing, that anytime you come to him, it's with thanksgiving. It says it right there. You know, mm-hmm. you come to him with your petitions, your prayers, your needs, but it's always with thanksgiving.
Yeah, I wrote that as the memory
blessings
verse.
He's given you. Yeah.
Do you want to read that? Do you have it?
Yeah, I do. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Philippians 4:6-7. That's a, there's sort of,
That's a great verse.
Yeah, some scripture staples, mm-hmm. ones that I say, yeah. like write them on an index card mm-hmm. and pull them out of That's the 66 one. Books that, yep. that sit on your lap mm-hmm. and like have them mm-hmm. when you just need a cliff notes.
Yeah.
How do I get through this
when
day,
you're
God?
In a dark place.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's one of them for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about high things. More specifically, how do we define Corinthians high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? These are any things you put above your pursuit of a relationship with the living God, like we were talking about earlier, Allie. The easy answers are those things we call idols. I remember I said, Nancy, we would circle back to mm-hmm. that, like money or material goods. Certainly, I would also put pride in this category. So I think it's good to think of the external stuff and the internal stuff that could be high things. When we focus on ourselves, we crowd out the credit that only God deserves. But many people have another, sometimes deadly idolatry of the self, and that's low self-esteem. Here, you're still focusing on yourself, but not in the way that would be defined as pride. Instead, we focus so much on our own shortcomings that we set our own thoughts against the knowledge of God in the areas of grace, mercy, or provision. Somehow, we can talk ourselves into the idea that we're such a mess, God couldn't possibly use us.
Yeah.
And that's a high thing. And I know it sounds crazy mm-hmm. to say that low self-esteem is a high thing.
Right.
But anything that crowds out God mm-hmm. is a high thing. Let's read through. Can each of us take, Nancy, if you want to grab Genesis, Brittany, if you want to grab Psalm 21:7, Allie, if you would grab Daniel 4:17, and I'll do Mark 5:7. There's one, I want to just bang through them really quickly, because they all basically say the same thing. Mm-hmm. I have mine, so it doesn't have to be in order. I'll start with Mark 5:7. Mark 5:7 says, "He shouted at the top of his voice." This is a demon. "He shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me.'" The focus in there, I'll say, is Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Okay, anybody who's ready can read another one.
I have Genesis 14:22. "But Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath.'"
Psalms 21:7. "For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved."
Daniel 4:17. "The sentence is by the decrees of the watchers, and the decisions by the world of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of man and gives it to whom he will and sets over it to the lowest of man."
So what's the common theme?
God is Most High.
Most High. Yeah. So I think in order to understand high things, we have to understand what's supposed to be Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So anything can be a high thing mm-hmm. if somehow it's above God in our life. So mm-hmm. I think it's easy to understand the idols, money, whatever. There's lots of idols. That's an easy grasp for us, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think we should run away from negativity becoming mm-hmm. Most High.
Yeah.
That if I do, especially in the context of us understanding how to take control of our thoughts and our thought life, if I get so jammed up in my own weaknesses, in my own mess, that I put that before God's ability to heal me or to use me, then it has become a high thing.
If you're struggling with mental health issues, we have additional resources on our website, studywithfriends.org. Click on the Captive series under the Bible Study tab. For more immediate help, specifically in the area of self-harm, please call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. If you missed any of today's program, or if you'd like the entire Captive series on CD, we'd love to send it to you for a donation of any amount. Because the battle for our thoughts is an ongoing one, this is a good CD series to have, and we want you to have access to it. Please visit studywithfriends.org/donate for giving options. Study with Friends is a listener-supported program, and we're kept on the air by your faithful prayers and financial support. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Thanks for being with us. See you next time on Study with Friends.